Don't let the ladies tell you no. I don't know how well that went, because the ladies were in the text thread. I'll check on him later if he's still alive. I'm not real sure. No. But I do pray, you know, it is my prayer that you are celebrated this day. It is a great day, and it is an awesome day if you have a dad that's present. You know, in a world in which there are so many people just hungry for a father's love, for a man's presence in their life. It is truly a blessing if you have that. So don't take that for granted, for sure. But I do hope you're all doing well on this Sunday. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And today, I want to continue the message that I started last week on the Holy Spirit. So I want to read to you again from John chapter 16, verses 4 through 15. It says this: I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asked me, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you cannot see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. In a little while you will see me no more, and then after a little while you will see me. Now, so I want to, the first thing that I shared with you last week, give you a little bit of a review, but maybe it's not so much of a review, but something else, you know, some other things that God had shared with me over the past week. The first thing that I shared with you, though, last week was to get focused. So if you're taking notes, we're just going to go back through this again, to get focused. This is based on verses 4 through 7. And what does Jesus want us to get focused on? Well, Jesus warns his followers about the upcoming hardships that they are going to face, right? You are going to face hardships, Jesus said. It's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when you will face hardships. So he's warning his followers about the upcoming hardships that they are going to face. Now, these hardships were definitely going to test their faith. Anybody ever felt like your faith has been tested? Absolutely, right? I mean, it's like, man, it just about broke me. You know, but here I was on the other side of it going, man, but look how much stronger I may be. But more specifically, what was Jesus's warning? Well, I want to read to you John chapter 15, verse 18 through 16, 3, which says this: if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, Jesus said, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, Jesus says. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. So what I read to you in chapter 16, verses 4 through 15, right, is Jesus giving this warning about what he's already just told them, right? So he warns his disciples what is to come. But this warning offers the disciples something else that I think we need to see. This warning that Jesus gives, that he offers the disciples and us, it should give us some encouragement, right? I mean, really, it should give us some encouragement. Jesus never leaves us unprepared, first off. And we are reminded that trials in this life never catch God off guard. Okay, Jesus says, I have been with you. That's what he said. I have been with you, but now I need you to really get focused. There is a time, there's coming a time that the world is going to hate you, Jesus says. I don't know if you know it or not, but if you are a born again believer in Christ, the way you live, the way you speak, the way you act should actually bring hatred from the world. As Jesus says, the world is going to hate you if you're following him. I mean, and then he even says if the world would have loved you if you were of the world, right? That's what he said. So sometimes whenever we're being loved by the world out there, and I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that's not a good thing. It must mean that I'm not living the way Jesus has called me to live. You see, we need to get focused. Jesus says we need to get focused because there is a time that the world is going to hate you. But keep in mind that the world hated Jesus first. Hey, disciples, he's saying, hey, disciples, get focused. Look, if you belong to the world, the world would have loved you as its own, but you do not. Catch this, you do not belong to the world, you belong to Jesus. You see, and that is why the world hates you, Jesus says. We need to remember the words that Jesus says, remember the words that I spoke to you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. So look, I mean, this isn't a new idea. Church, when you're being persecuted, you think things in life aren't going well, things just aren't going the way that you think they should. Let me just tell you something. Persecution is coming. Persecution is here. Persecution happens to the believer. Jesus said it. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours. You're going to be treated worse than the worldly because of me. You will be outcasts because of me, Jesus says. The world and its own aren't going to like you because they are without excuse. You need to catch this. The reason why that the world doesn't like a Christian coming down the road, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of people who avoid me. But they don't avoid John because of who John is. They avoid John because of who John follows. You see, they are without excuse, the Bible says. You see, if I had not come, Jesus said, right? If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. You see, they've seen Jesus do miracles and they still hated him, right? I mean, you are going to do miracles. You're going to show up at the right time. God's going to use you to say the right prayer, and things are going to work out in somebody's life, right? Have you ever been a part of that where you went in and God used you and really to encourage somebody, and all of a sudden things started to work out in their life, and then they're nowhere around, right? It's like, yeah, I love what you can do for me. But man, I can't stand to be around this Jesus feeling all the time. Because of why? Because they're guilty of sin. We need to get focused. I need to get focused. And I'm telling you this so that you will not go astray, Jesus says. They're going to throw you out of the synagogues. They will kill you. And when they do this, they think that they're doing this in the name of God. You know? I mean, look, they will do these things because they do not know Jesus or His Father, He says. But Jesus says, you know me. You know me. Do you know Jesus this morning? If you know Him, then Jesus says you need to get focused. You need to get focused and you need to stay focused. You see, Jesus was sharing God's foreknowledge of things to come. Jesus is saying, hey, I'm telling you this now so that you won't get caught by surprise or lose your faith along the way when the storm hits. Jesus promises the disciples a helper. Jesus knew that the world was going to get hostile towards His followers, which is why Jesus reminds them of the promised helper right after He warns them of just how bad things are going to get. An ongoing conversation that me and some of my brothers have in the faith is, I just wonder how many of you might still be sitting here when things get really bad in our world. When they threaten to take away your livelihood or your life for following Jesus, would you still be here? I sure hope so. Because things are going to get bad. Things will get bad. They will get worse. The persecution of Christians aren't just going to be on foreign soil. It's going to happen right here in America. It's already happening here in America. What are you going to do when your family is against the wall? They're threatening to take your spouse, threatening to hurt your kids, threatening you if you speak the name of Jesus or identify with Him. I know what goes through our mind as we think, well, you know what? I know Jesus, and whether I'm hunkered down in my house and running scared, He's still going to accept me in the end. Well, let me just tell you something. God has something for us here. And it is to be His representative until the day He takes us home. John 16:33 says, Jesus said, I have told you these things, though that in me You may have peace in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So Jesus is, he has forewarned us, church. We can find peace in knowing that he has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Jesus is telling us that this world is not our friend. It is actually our enemy, the enemy of our faith. But that is why I have to leave, Jesus says, so the counselor can come and he will convict the world of sin. He will bring many to repentance and he will be with you to remind you of all the things that I have told you, Jesus said. Jesus will encourage you. And he will strengthen you to continue to fight the good fight. The next thing that I shared with you last week was the world, the work of the Holy Spirit to convict. Right in John 16, 8 through 11. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin. Because men do not believe in me, he said, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. You see, church, Jesus says that the work of the Holy Spirit is to convict. You know, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of as guilty in regard to sin. John 16, 9, in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. So we understand from God's word, sin comes from unbelief. I mean, the unsaved world out there that the Holy Spirit convicts is because of their unbelief. So the Holy Spirit will convict the world in regard to righteousness, Jesus said, God's word says, right? So it's hard for people. You know, when I think about America, and I'm very thankful to live in America. I mean, I love that I can freely jump in my truck and go to church. I can go wherever I want. I can freely worship anytime, anywhere I want. I can share Jesus in the mall or in Walmart or out in the community streets, and nobody can really gonna do anything to me, right? I mean, what a blessing it is. However, in America, it's hard for people who have been raised in a world that tells them how great they are, just the way they are, to recognize that their righteousness, their self-righteousness, amounts to nothing before God. Nothing. Because the reality is, your self-righteousness is nothing more than that, self-righteousness. It doesn't bring righteousness in our lives. The work of the Holy Spirit brings righteousness in our lives. Look, Jesus is the only one that makes us righteous. He's the only one that makes us righteous in God's eyes. And God's eyes are the only eyes that matter. Amen? His eyes are the only ones that matter. And just so you know, His eyes are on you 24/7. That deep, dark secret that you think you're hiding, you might be hiding it from the people around you, but not from God. Romans 3, 10 through 18 says, As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Their throats are open graves. Their tongues practice deceit. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery mark their ways. And the way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the world in regard to judgment, he says. When we look at the world, when we look at the way the world judges, we see the world's judgments are profoundly wrong and morally perverse. Okay? Which leads to my next thought for this morning. The work of the Holy Spirit to guide and teach. Verses 12 through 15, right? There's another work of the Holy Spirit that would be to the benefit of the apostles and to us today, right? There is another reason that Jesus would go back to the Father. according to Jesus' words, he still had a lot to say to the apostles, right? He still had a lot to say to the apostles, but it was more than they could bear at the time. Church, they had to walk with Jesus, right? They had walked with Jesus. Jesus had taught them a lot of things, right? What was happening is Jesus was preparing them for a time without him physically. So instead of Jesus laying their entire futures out, which he could have done, instead of him laying their entire futures out before them, and that time he said that he was going to send the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, to guide them into all truth. When you think about your faith journey, do you think you would still be here if you had known everything you were going to go through to this point? God doesn't reveal it all to us because we would be very apt to say, you know what? I think I'll just stay hunkered down at my house. I don't want to endure that. I don't want to endure that hardship. I don't want to go through that. I don't want my family to go through that. Yeah, and that would be, I mean, I get it. That would be the fleshly response. But this is a very important promise that comes from Jesus. You see, who is all truth given to? This is something we need to understand this morning. Who is all his truth given to according to the scripture? Let me tell you something. All truth is not going to be given directly to every Christian. It's not. You don't possess it. You don't have it. All truth will be directly given according to God's word to the Holy Spirit. All truth will be directly given to the Holy Spirit that is living in you, right? The Holy Spirit that's living in you, and then the truth would be given to you. That's what he's saying. Jesus says, I'm going to send all my truth to the one who can receive my truth as it is, the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit is going to apply that truth to the believer's life. Ephesians 3, 4, and 5 says this, in reading this then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the, what? Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. So at the time of this, of Jesus's time, right? At that time, the Holy Spirit brought revelation. Not to everyone, but to his apostles and his prophets. The apostles and prophets wrote those things down, right? So that we could have the same understanding and insight that they had. All scripture is God-breathed, right? Who wrote the scriptures? Not man. No, the Holy Spirit did. Through man. You see, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would tell them also what is yet to come. The nature of their mission. He would be the one. Jesus, look, if Jesus would have told them right then and there, they would have probably bolted back home. They would have probably said, you know what? I'm not the guy. I'm not the guy. I remember saying that to God myself when he called me to the ministry over 20 years ago. I told him, I said, I don't think you got the right guy. And he said, no, I got exactly who I want. You see, but here's the thing. When he called me and I wrestled with him that night, if he would have laid everything out that I was going to endure over the next 15 years, I don't know if I would have ever started. Because it's been hard, right? The faith journey is not easy. There are decisions that you have to make that are not welcomed by the world. They're not welcomed by others. You see, Jesus said, you know, it wasn't going to be him that was going to tell them, but it would be the Holy Spirit's leading in their life that would lead them on a day-by-day basis, right? They didn't fully understand it. You don't fully understand it. I didn't fully understand it. They didn't fully understand these promises that Jesus was giving them until the Holy Spirit actually came. You see, after Jesus' death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit came, right? It was then that they were empowered to be Jesus' hands and feet. It was then that the Holy Spirit revealed the truths to the disciples that they wrote down in the books that now form the New Testament. What does this mean for us today? Well, the next thing I'd have you write down is this. The Holy Spirit is essential. You know, I remember back in the COVID days, not that I want to drag us back into those days, but I heard a lot of things about being essential. There was times when I needed to be places that the world said I couldn't go. But God was leading me to go. I was told that a pastor isn't an essential worker. Give me a break. People are dying. People need to know Jesus. I don't know whose work wasn't more essential during those times. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is essential, my friends. You see, the Holy Spirit is essential because He serves as the primary. You need to hear this. The Holy Spirit is essential because He serves as the primary counselor. He serves as the primary comforter. And He serves as the supernatural empowering force in a believer's life. You see, Jesus told His disciples that it was to their advantage that He was going to leave. Now, I don't know about you, if I was walking with Jesus, I'd have been just like them disciples. I'd been like, no, I need you here. I don't want you going anywhere. No, I need you right here. I need to be following in your footsteps. I need to know because I've seen what you do. I've seen what you can do. And yet Jesus says, no, it's going to benefit everyone if I leave. Because the reality is, Jesus couldn't be everywhere. And Jesus couldn't enter into a man to live in him. Oh, we can follow Him, and He is our Savior, and He is our Lord. But it wasn't until He left to go back to the Father that the Holy Spirit would come and convict us and then come and live in us, right? And empower us to truly be and to truly live a life that is pleasing to God. The Holy Spirit is essential to believers because the Holy Spirit is personal, empowering. He is the personal, empowering presence of God that guides us, that transforms us, and equips us. You see, church, the Holy Spirit acts as our comforter. He guarantees, right? He guarantees salvation. It's not you. There's nothing. You know what? I'm getting tired of these people that are saying, hey, you got to do in order to prove your salvation or to show your salvation. Look, you can't do anything for your salvation. Believe. That's it. You believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit does the rest. Do you believe that this morning? That the Holy Spirit acts as our comforter, He is the guarantee according to the book of Hebrews, right? He's the one that seals us for the day of salvation, the day that we go home. It's the Holy Spirit who does it. Now, I'm not giving you a reason to keep on sinning, because that's another evidence of the Holy Spirit, right? Is that I sin a little less. Because if the Holy Spirit's living in me, and He's at work in my life, shouldn't there be change? Truly. Doesn't mean that you'll be without sin, but it should look a lot different. It should look a lot different. You see, the Holy Spirit acts as a comforter. He guarantees your salvation. He's the one that produces spiritual growth in your life, and He enables the believer to live a righteous life pleasing to God. All you got to do is surrender your life to Him. You see, church, living a righteous life for God is not possible without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Everybody says, I want to please God. I want to please. That's probably the reason why you came to church today. I want to please God, right? I want to please God. I want to do what God wants me to do. Let me tell you something. You can't do that without the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. So the days that you please God, it's because you've probably surrendered your life to the Holy Spirit living in you. Doesn't mean that you're not saved when you don't. It just means that that surrender is either there or it is not. And that reciprocates into what the actions that your life and the fruit that your life produces. You see, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that leads believers in their daily steps and decisions, right? It is the Holy Spirit that helps us to understand spiritual truths. You know, when you open up the Word, it's like, there was a time when I didn't understand it. There was a time whenever I read it and I'm going, okay, it sounds good, but it's not hitting me. I don't understand it. It's because I wasn't saved. But the moment that I got saved and then I read God's Word, the Holy Spirit applied the Word to my life. That was not a... No, that was... Look, the Holy Spirit is essential to us. God's truth. Jesus' teachings. So let me give you 10 reasons why the Holy Spirit is essential in the believer's life. Number one, the Holy Spirit acts as your helper and counselor. Do you need help this morning? Do you need help to live that life that God and His Word calls you to live? I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with somebody and they're like, I just can't do this. I can't do this. Pastor, I've reading this and I can't do this. And I say, no, you can't. You can't do it. But God can. The Holy Spirit can. You see, at one time the Holy Spirit was on the outside trying to convict you of your need for Jesus. Now that you have come to a saving belief in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to what? Live inside you. To convict you still when you're doing wrong, right? But to help you live a life pleasing to God. You can't do it on your own. The Holy Spirit is the one that helps you do this. The Holy Spirit is there as your number one. Not your self-help books, not your pastor, not anything else, not anyone else. The Holy Spirit is there as your number one counselor when you are facing hard decisions or hard struggles in your life. We go to everything and everybody else before we go to the one who's living in us. You see, because the Holy Spirit steps in to help you fight your fleshly impulses and helps you to live out your true God-given identity. Will it be hard? You better believe it. I'm here to tell you it's going to be hard. But God has put a helper inside of you that will help you do it. Number two, the Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. Church, when you open the Word of God every day, I'm sure, when you open the Word of God, it is the Holy Spirit who enables you and helps you to apply what you read on the pages of the Bible into living wisdom. Okay? The Holy Spirit helps you to learn and get to know God's true nature, right? To know about His kingdom. And the Holy Spirit helps you to know who you are in Christ. Look, one of the reasons you have probably heard me say so many times, the importance of praying and asking God through the work of the Holy Spirit to open your heart, to open your mind to God's truth. It is so important. Church, before you open up the Word of God, you need to repent of your sins. Before you open, and it's because you're like, well, I read it, but I just don't understand it. I read it, and nothing's happening, Pastor. Look, if you are a born-again believer in Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is living in you. The only way that you can't be growing is because of you. Okay? We need to repent of our sins. Because any sins that we may have breaks our fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's where the grieving that I talked about several weeks ago. That's where the grieving of the Holy Spirit comes in a believer's life. Yeah, a believer can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I get it. But we grieve Him all the time. We grieve Him all the time when we are actively sinning, when we are actively doing what we want to do. Okay? That grieves the Holy Spirit. It breaks our fellowship with Him, and we can't receive the Word clearly because of that broken fellowship. We need to repent of those sins so that we are not grieving the Holy Spirit, so that we can hear from Him clearly when we open up His Word. You know what? There's a whole lot of people out in the world that misinterpret the Word of God all the time, right? They do. They claim to be believers. Look, it's because they are looking at the Word of God thinking, hey, I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, but I'm really not because I haven't confessed my sins. Sin separates the believer from God because sin grieves the Holy Spirit. 1 John 1:8 through 10. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His Word has no place in our lives. Rest in that for a while. 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Go home, study it, rest in it. I'm telling you what that says. It's talking about a believer who has believed and has a broken fellowship with God because of their lack of confession and by grieving the Holy Spirit. Church, if God has forgiven our sins because of Christ's death, we must confess our sins. I mean, Jesus' blood covers our past, present, and future. I get it. For eternity. But our fellowship can still be broken. Number three. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and directs you to repentance. That's why the Holy Spirit's so essential. You know, it's not just like I came to belief and now I just live my life however I want. Whoever says that, I'd say run from them. Because God didn't save you so that you could live your life the way you want. And I get it. It may not lead to happy, happy, happy all the time. The Holy Spirit convicts you of sin and directs you to repentance. According to John 16:8, the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Right? That's what we just read. The Holy Spirit's work isn't done once you come to a saving belief in Jesus. It's not. He's just getting started. He continues to convict us. He continues to help us finish the race that God has called us to. Sometimes you think you can't finish the race. That's because you can't. Not without His help. Number four, the Holy Spirit produces spiritual transformation, sanctification, right? The Holy Spirit truly brings freedom to our lives by freeing us from the shackles of sin and by continually reminding us of who we are in Christ Jesus. Does anybody need to be reminded of who they are in Christ Jesus this morning? You see, the Holy Spirit helps us through every situation and every circumstance to learn how to die to ourself, to our old self. And He continually molds your character and actions to reflect the image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed in His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." The Holy Spirit continually works to change the believer's character, producing fruit of the Spirit in their life. Number five, the Holy Spirit provides guidance for our prayers. You know, there was a time when I had quite a list of, quite a prayer list. And what I would do is I would bring that prayer list out every morning and I would just go, bump, 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 bump. I'd just sit there and pray. Pray for every single person on that list. Without guidance or direction of the Holy Spirit, right? I mean, as we learned last week, when you feel too weak or overwhelmed to truly share your thoughts and needs with God, the Holy Spirit steps in. That's the beauty. He translates your deepest groanings into prayers that align perfectly with the Father's will. Romans 8, 26-27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Do you find yourself praying the same old thing over and over again? We can teach parrots to do that. If the Holy Spirit's truly leading you in your prayers, they're not going to sound the same every single time, right? Because we want our will and our prayers to line up with God and His will, right? I'm not saying don't pray for your family and cover your family in prayer. Those are all things that God wants to do. But you want a deep relationship and conversation with God? Allow the Holy Spirit to lead you in your prayer life. Number six, the Holy Spirit distributes spiritual gifts for ministry. We're going to learn more about that in the weeks ahead. But the Holy Spirit gives every believer a supernatural gift that helps to prepare them to take their place in the body of believers. And I'm going to share with you about that in the days ahead. Number seven, the Holy Spirit infuses supernatural hope, love, and peace. You see, church, the Holy Spirit pours God's love directly into your heart, especially during seasons of suffering, to give you this extra dose of hope, love, and peace. It is the work of the Holy Spirit that truly provides an unshakable faith. Number eight, the Holy Spirit empowers effective evangelism. The Holy Spirit provides us with courage and strength and the precise words needed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. It is the Holy Spirit who empowers us to share boldly, not worrying about what people around us think. Number 9, the Holy Spirit offers supernatural comfort and protection. Church, when bad things happen, and they're going to happen, I don't like it when they happen any more than you like it when they happen. But let me tell you something. When bad things happen in a believer's life, the Holy Spirit functions as a direct source of emotional healing, stability, and relief during grief or trauma. When we are in spiritual warfare, the Holy Spirit provides heavy discernment to help protect us from being hurt by the enemy and those around us. And number 10, the Holy Spirit fulfills the personal presence of God within you. The Holy Spirit fulfills the personal presence of God within you. Church, you are literally in the presence of God all day, every day. Do you believe that? Why are you in the... Have you ever thought about why am I in the presence of God all day, every day? Is it because He's just everywhere? I guess it could be. But more than that, you are literally in the presence of God all day, every day, because the Holy Spirit makes your body His literal dwelling place. He is living in you. And because He is living in you, you have the potential. Okay, I know some of you are going to be like, that's not possible. But if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you have the potential to be in constant communion with the living God all day, every day. Hebrews 13, 5b and 6, God has said, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Church, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no salvation. There wouldn't be. There wouldn't be salvation because you would have never known what sin was, let alone be convicted of it. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot live to please God. I think it is safe to say this morning that the Holy Spirit is essential for our daily living to please God and to ensure that we finish this race here on earth and then fall into His arms. Let's pray. Father, we come before You and I thank You for Your Word, and I thank You. I think we need to thank You for the Holy Spirit living in us. God, for so long we've thought it was just about being saved. And God, maybe that is it for most of us. We just want to know that when we breathe our last, that we will be with You. But God, how can we even have that confidence without the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts? That we know that when we breathe our last, because of Your work through the Holy Spirit in us, that we will be welcomed into Your kingdom. We are loved by You even when we're unlovable, because the Holy Spirit is living in us. God, help us to not grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us. Help us to truly be set apart from the world, and help us to live lives pleasing to You. Thank You for being an amazing God. Thank You for Your Word. And thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit in each of us. We love You. And we commit these things to You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? And now may the Lord bless you, and I pray that He keeps you. I pray that He puts His hedge of protection around you and your heart as you surrender to His work in your life It is my prayer that he moves in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.